Blog Talk Radio.
It's official right now. In 4 minutes or less, you. We gonna crown all of them right now. That's Kate, my mama, your mama, you. And you, your baby's mama's mama, mama. That's Kate, you. Wife, you. If you're near a woman right now, wherever you at, turn to them, say, that's Kate, you are appreciated.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. Special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share.
I'm very blessed.
very well. Doing actually well this evening. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm hard at it.
Yes.
Well, y'all know this is our first show. I don't know if Patricia's there or not. I see some hands up. I think I got.
I know Patricia said that she was going to be listening in.
Okay. So I did see that message. I did see the message. She said she was picking up her baby. So, we want to get right into it, you all. My name is Cotton Campbell, and this is Let's Talk About It. We are the ladies of TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, and my other hosts are Lucy, Lady Justice, and, or a.k.a. Lady J, and Miss Patricia B. So, with that being said, I'm going to let the ladies all tell you about themselves and who they are and what it is that they do so that you know who we are on this platform. So take it away, Lucy.
Oh, you will pick me up. A setup coming. I felt a setup. My name is Lucy Candler, and I am very excited and nervous to be here this evening. Thank you so much for having me on the Michael Gay Show Network. I really am honored to be here and to be a part of such a monumental movement of women empowerment is something that is dear and near to my heart. I am a mother. I'm a wife. I have three daughters, and I have been married for 15 years. That's pretty much me. I am native to the Midwest, and that's pretty much it.
Hi, DJ.
Yes.
Good
evening, all. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. What a wonderful day to be blessed with everybody today. I am Lady Justice, a.k.a. Lady J, a.k.a. Yolanda, a.k.a. Granny. I am someone's wife. I am someone's mother. I am someone's grandmother. I am an awesome entrepreneur. I am a great listener. And I am here to serve our community in the best way possible.
I love that introduction.
You know what? Hold on. Before we go any further, because I don't want Lucy to make the same. I don't want Patricia to make the same mistake that you all did. So I'm gonna just clarity right now. The one thing that they forgot to say is that they are the best friends of Kyle Campbell. I don't know how you leave that out. At all.
That's Lady J. She was supposed to remind me.
She's supposed to put that out there.
Yeah. We definitely forgot.
Hello? We definitely forgot to
mention
that.
Miss Patricia.
Hello,
Patricia.
Hi. Hello, Patricia.
Hi.
We're great.
I'm in here. Can y'all hear me? I was tired. I've been on here listening to y'all for probably like the last 5 minutes.
Girl, you know what? It's my fault because I thought I was hitting the button to let you in, and I wasn't. I was like, this thing ain't working. I done broke it already.
But we have
you now, so tell our listeners who you are, what it is that you do.
Ooh. So, hey, everybody out there. Happy Thursday. My name is Patricia Banks, a.k.a. Patricia B. I am a small business owner, and my business is called Base for Change LLP. I am a director. I am a mother, a wife. Literally a woman of many hats, aka wig, but I'm looking good and I'm trying to keep it together all at the same time, y'all. I'm trying to take care of business as best I can, and I'm back working full time. I'm not going to disclose when, but I'm back in the workforce as well. So I'm very busy in life right now, but I'm here. I'm so honored to be here with you ladies.
Yes, we've got many, many hats to take my hat off to you.
Yes, you do. Did we lose somebody? Because I feel like we lost somebody on here. Did we? Is everybody on, Lady J? Did we lose Lady J? No, she's here. Everybody's here. No.
Here, but I can hear it.
Everybody's here? Yeah, everybody's here.
Yeah, I can hear you, Cotton.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you now. Okay,
Thank you.
I'm learning how to work this board, y'all. I'm sorry, it's been a while for me, and I keep hitting the wrong button. I'm like, God dang it, what happened to Lady Justice? Okay. So... For you all that don't know who I am, my name is Cotton Campbell. I am the softest voice in poetry. I'm the lady of love. I'm a seduction entrepreneur. I am the best friend of these ladies on the phone here that you all hear. As we work together in many assets of in the community. So we do a lot together, and from empowering other people, especially women, to feeding the homeless, to giving away clothes, to just, I mean, everything. So these are three of the most powerful women that I know in the tri-state of Kansas City, Kansas. I just want to put that out there. I couldn't have asked for a better group of women to be a part of this. And to be a part of my life at this point, because I think at this point I just feel like we're stuck with each other whether we want to be or not, because I think that they're really great women, and I'm very honored and proud to know these ladies. If you get the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation or do business with any one of these women, you will understand what I'm talking about. I mean, you all don't know I'm an author, self-published author. I'm the co-host on TMG, the Michael Gay Network, the Michael Gay Show. I'm a co-host on there, as well as other. I wear many hats. I think we all wear many hats. I don't think we can just wear one hat. Tonight's topic is, you know, I wanted to bring something to the table because we're all mothers, and there are a lot of us out there, parents, period, who may be concerned with what's going on in the world, and that is these mass killings. And I think about it every day, even though it wasn't anybody that I know personally, but I think about it every day because I do have children, even though they're grown. I have grandbabies that now I am concerned about going to school or just, you know, going to, you know, and at this stage, going to the grocery store and just different things like that because of what's happening in the world today. And it just feels like no one's really doing anything about it. And so in my research, I learned that there has been over 600 mass killings thus far in this year alone. And so I think that that's a great topic to start because we are mothers, and I don't know how anyone else feels, but let's hear from the ladies on the panel and see how they feel.
I know for myself, this is Lucy. Good evening, everyone. I know for myself, I have three daughters that I raised up in the school district, and I have nieces and nephews, and that was always a really real fear for me as a mother, you know, to get a phone call saying that anything has happened at your child's school that, you know, was violent, where you feel like your children are supposed to be protected. They spend more time at school and on school property, you know, and the average time they're at home and at school, you know, is about the same. And so when your child is away from you, you want to know that they're okay and you want to know that they're protected. And unfortunately, we've not had that security for a very long time. And it's very important that we keep reaching out, and it starts in your own backyard, in your own community, to advocate for, you know, more protection on school property. And, you know, sometimes metal detectors is not always a bad thing. You hear metal detectors and there's a real fear about that, you know, well, a privacy issue, is just, you know, boundary issue. But, you know, I lived also in a district where I don't necessarily see that as such a bad thing. And it's not the answer and the number one problem to solve the issue of, you know, not our children not being protected on school property, but I do feel like that there are different methods that we could start at the basics of just bringing things back to make our children feel safe again.
Absolutely, I agree, and I definitely agree. I don't know what it's going to take. I know Lady Day and I were talking about this earlier, and the subject came up of How are they getting the guns? How are they being brought into the school? How are they being able to purchase these guns? You know, these guns aren't guns that, well, I just need a gun to protect myself. These guns will kill multiple people at one time. In the youth, you know what I'm saying? So I'll let Patricia chime in.
Yes, thank you. So, I mean, I think it's a sad situation all the way around the board that we are witnessing so much of this going on. And with my daughter, you know, being in the Kansas City, you know, public school district, Kansas City, Missouri public school district, that's, you know, probably one of our worst fears in this neighborhood. I live in the third district. So that's like the last thing we need is somebody going up in one of these neighborhood schools and slaughtering, you know, kids in our community like that. So when we see it on TV and we know that it's happening to people in other cities around us, it's like, yeah, we got to hold them accountable. It's time to start getting some answers, because why are they getting these guns? What is giving an 18-year-old the impression that he could just go in school and murder all these kids? Teachers, I mean, what, the guns, I mean, somebody know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
All we can do is pray. I pray for my daughter and my son. They both school age. So, you
Amen.
Know, for me, it's a spiritual thing, because I know God's in the midst, and that's just my opinion. That's my belief. But
yeah.
we need to do better.
We have to make the government, we have to hold the government accountable as well.
Accountable, yes. I agree. That's what I mean, we. Not us, but yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like if this had been a mass shooting where police officers were killed, then they would be trying to, everything in the world, they'd be trying to do everything to stop it. But because that hasn't happened, it feels like they're saying the rest of the world, the rest of us are expendable. I'm just saying, because they're not really doing anything about it. I know that on the Michael Gay Show, we had this discussion, and we talked about raising the legal age limit of when you can purchase a gun, but that doesn't stop them from buying it on the black market. As Lady Justice and I talked about earlier, it doesn't stop them from buying it on the black market. But at the same time, the age limit should still be raised. I think we brought up, because, you know, you can't even go, if you're underage, you can't even go you can't be in a casino by yourself. You can walk through with your parents. But if you're underage, you can't even, you can't go into a casino and sit at the slot machine. And then, yeah, they're not having it. If this is, someone told me that they went to a gun show not too long ago, and they said there were more kids in the gun show than there were adults. to me, that's crazy.
Yep.
How is that? Because if that had been a show with alcohol, if that had been a alcohol show or some type like that, you wouldn't have, no kids would be allowed. Like, and typically a person buying alcohol is only going to harm themselves. When somebody buys a gun, it's because they want to harm other people, regardless if they're using it for protection or not. You know what I'm saying? So I think there has to be the responsibility. Like, you know, typical 21-year-olds, if they're not responsible enough to buy alcohol at 21, and they're really not, why should they be responsible at 21 to purchase a gun?
Yeah. I think
they're not.
You know, yeah. And like I said, you know, I think that going back to basics and just security measures, you know, making sure that the right security measures are in. Because I've heard stories also to where, you know, the students have led the other student through the back entrance for something with a weapon. You know, they were able to sneak a knife into the school, or they were able to sneak, you know, a BB gun into the school because, you know, some peers left the back door open. Or so, you know, it's just, you know, making sure that there's, in those blind spots, that there's security measures that we put the money back into the school of having the surveillance. Surveillance everywhere else. You know, if you're on the street and you commit a robbery, they're able to pick it up off of the bank camera, off the teller camera, off of the all these cameras are able to pick up what you were wearing down to, you know, what color drawers you had on maybe. But in the school systems, there's a breakdown in security and putting the money back into the system to be able to make sure that our children.
I want to give Lady Justice a chance to comment as well, because we have a caller with their hand up, so I want Lady Justice to speak first.
So for me, my perspective is this. If we don't first stop where they're coming from, we're never going to get to the end result. We can put in as many policy changes and change the people that are in office, but until we do this, it's going to still have the same result. So as long as there are people willing to sell guns in the black market, we're going to have these problems. And with what Cotton said, nobody should have access to an AK-7 unless you're in the military.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
Well, there are a lot of guns, and I'm not saying that we should not protect ourselves. But protecting yourself does not mean that when you get upset about something or your mental capacity can't take it, that you go off on a rampage and take it out on everybody. You can't
do that.
So we have to stop allowing people to do that.
Absolutely.
And
then, I concur with what Lady Justin said as well. The other part of it is that when these things happen, the first thing they say is mental illness. Not everybody has mental illness. Some people are just evil at the end of the day. And if it is a mental illness, somebody saw the warning signs beforehand and did nothing about it, nothing at all. So now you've got to go back to holding those people accountable who didn't bother to do anything about it, because you saw that somebody, this person was probably been crying out for help for a minute, and you did nothing. So that's just being a kid. No, it's not. There's something wrong right there. It's not always a kid being a kid. Sometimes it's something more. And we have to start looking at it a little more seriously. We do have a couple of callers with their hand up. 3551, open your mic so that you can say something.
Before you open it, can you, anybody that is not talking, please mute your phone, because you can hear everything in your background.
Okay.
Thank you. 3551, I'm going to open your mic. If you have a question or comment, please you can state your name and then go ahead and say what you want to say. Hello, 3551. Did you have a question or comment? Okay. 0258, I'll open up your mic. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and say your name and go ahead and ask your question or your comment.
Hello, Cotton.
Zero.
Lucy.
Hi.
Patrick. Patricia. Lady J. This is Officer Crenshaw from the TMGN. And say that I'm listening. This is you guys' moment. I'm listening. I'm loving it. The thing about the school, it's going to take people to be held accountable. You can't protect forever, but if you start holding people accountable, and not just the politicians, but even some of the parents, if they want their child to have a gun at 18, then go after their ass until they turn 21.
Yeah.
Get them for what you get.
Absolutely.
Other than that, change the laws. Because you put in, you can buy, you can't store until you're 21. Why should you own a rifle? And going
Absolutely.
Up into a school, you know, if you want to take something into a school, do it like we did. Take brass knuckles and chains. Either get your ass whooped or whoop ass. Don't take a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I mean, there's just truth and honesty here.
You know, I mean, do it old school. You know, and some of these politicians, pull their damn children out of private school and put them in public school and see how quick they change the laws.
Mm-hmm.
They'll change them real quick.
Yep.
There you go.
This is all good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep doing it.
But until they do that, they're going to talk trash. You know, they're going to do all the things that they want to do. They're going to say all the things that they want to say. They're going to preach, what the hell is it, replacement theory. You know, who the hell are we trying to replace? We're trying to improve.
Right.
We ain't trying to replace. We're trying to improve.
Absolutely.
So, but anyway, this is your show. I call to say I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm listening. You ladies, do your thing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Officer. Real quick before he goes off, Officer Crenshaw is one of our other co-hosts on the Michael Gay Show, the one week on our Saturday shows. And he's also, I want to say he's kind of a celeb because he does some of the reenactments for some of the cop shows, or you used to. I don't know if you still do, but he's that guy.
Yeah, I did back in the 90s on the cops episodes back in the 90s, military special forces. So, I mean, I'm just chilling. I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
Enjoying retirement.
Yes. Thank you so much, Officer Crenshaw, for coming on.
Yes,
oh, you're
thank
welcome.
You.
I'm sitting back listening, so if you want to ask me a question in the process, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay,
glad
awesome. So, yeah, yes, absolutely. I feel like if we're going to up the age on having guns, I think it should probably be like 30 to 35, 40, because typically maturity doesn't happen until then. And then people are, or even though we do have some older people, but at least it'll cut out the younger folks and the younger some of the younger generation from being able to purchase guns at all. Which is,
they're never,
you know,
going to do that. That's just something, you know, it's like one of those things, like, that's a great idea, but that's never going to happen. There's too much of a high commodity for it. And it's like everyone has a gun now, like it's a belt clip, you know. They're making too much money off of it. It would never, that age increase, it's never going to happen. We're never going to see that happen.
Right. And I mean, we may not. It's just trying to figure out how to fix the problem, because overall we just keep talking about the problem and talking about the problem, and then it kind of dies out, and then something happens again, and we talk about it and we talk about it, and then it dies out and then it happens again. And it's like a cycle. It's like we never really come up with a good solution to fixing the problem, and it seems like it's just getting worse. One of the things that I wanted to see if you ladies could tap into, and that is because me as a mom, I have grandkids, as I said, but I also have my children, and they're all adults, of course, but I still have that what if this were my kid type of a scenario or emotion going on within me that says, how do you have a conversation with a mother, and how do you get over someone walking into the school and killing your kid, the place where they learned? It wasn't like they were walking down the street and, you know, got hit by a stray bullet. Someone walked into the school and targeted them deliberately before being killed themselves. And we're dealing with kids. So I want to know, I think I just want to know, how would you feel if this were you? How would you, like, what would you do? Like, it's so hard to say. I don't know that I would survive. I think about that, and I was like, I don't know that I would be mentally stable. I'd probably be angry and ready to, but the person that did it is already dead.
I just think that it's important to always have that line of communication open with your children about what, you know, safety measures and what do you do in situations like that. No one can ever be prepared for a loss or for a tragedy or for a conversation of, you know, something detrimental happening. Like, you just can't prepare yourself for something like that. You know, you feel like you may be the strongest person, but you will crumble, you know, or you might hold more strength than you've ever had. You know, it's just one of those situations where you just don't know. But the only thing that you could do is prepare your children constantly every day for the fact that if you were in this situation, you know, having daughters, you know, my thing was never to walk alone, always be in groups. And, you know, if you come together, you leave together. Those are all important things. Be aware of your surroundings. And, you know, these are things that you have to teach your children, not just old school, but this is an everyday life. You know, going to the mall, going to the grocery store, going to the pool. You know, we've had so many incidents just in my lifetime where just going to the pool could be a dangerous thing for a teenager, a youth, you know, a minor, anybody, you know, a grown woman, you know. And so it's just implementing those things of teaching them how to have the tools and to know their resources and to know their area and not always have their guard throw caution to the wind. And I think that for me personally, that's my stance. It's just, you can never be prepared for something like that, but you always prepare them for something.
Yeah. And that's very true. I got that same pep talk as a young girl. I do want to say that, well, before I go, Patricia, how do you feel about it?
Well, like I said, you know, it's different times, and, you know, it's so many dangers, seen and unseen, you know. So my thing is, like I said, to prepare, you know, my children, my daughter, you know, just let her know that while there are bad things that's going on in the world, if you can maybe look towards something good, to pay attention, you know, listen to people that, you know, give you instructions, then, I mean, we have to have more of that. So I pray, you know, that everybody just get to the point where even individual households, things can become better, because that's the only way it's going to get better. People change their mindset. So
yeah,
you got to be honest. You got to be transparent. You got to be serious. You got to be protective. You got to be all that. You just have to be well-rounded to survive, basically.
Right. Maybe, Jay?
So.
Yeah, so me, two of my daughters are grown. I have a 7-year-old that's in elementary school, and I have some granddaughters that are coming up. This puts me back in a reminder of what happened to my mother, who was murdered. So when that happened, the first thing that I was thinking was, I need to go get them. But even in this instance, you can't go get them, right? Because he's already been gotten.
Right.
So how do you overcome all of that tension? Right? So what I had to do and what I had to learn was, and it took me a long time to do it, is that everybody didn't do it. But what are we going to do to change what continues to occur? Because it continues to occur. He wasn't the first serial killer. This is not the first mass killer. What are we going to do to stop it? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? That's where my head is. What are we going to do? Because I got to send my kids to school in August. What if they come to her school? Mm. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Remember when the mothers of drunk drivers, when the drunk drivers started and it became a big issue, and then somebody created Mothers of Drunk Drivers and that whole movement? I don't know what to do in this case, like you just said. It's like, how do you, because as parents, we have to be responsible for our kids. Even the ones like this young man who went out and, you know, shot all these children. This is a kid killing other kids. But the mother knew something was wrong. She knew. Just like the young man who went to the grocery store and killed all those people. They knew something was wrong and nobody did anything. It's like we stop parenting after a certain age. They decide to stop being parents. I'm still a parent. I'm a parent every day. Every day. And if I feel like there's something not right with my kid, we're addressing that. And if it gets to the point where, because, you know, where Mom, I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. Well, okay. Well, let's just see how grown you are when I drag you through the street. How about that? Because if it's not right, I'm not going to allow you to jeopardize somebody else's life because you think you can do what you want to do at the end of the day. If I have to call the police and have you locked up to make sure that everybody else is safe, that's what I will do. I will not allow you as the parent to put other people's lives in jeopardy because I don't want to be a parent anymore. I'm done parenting. You grown. Do what you want to do. Okay. Do what you want to do till I call the police and have you locked up or drag you myself. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm using that as an example, but I'm just saying it still should take a village. And I think the village has stopped raising our kids. We have stopped allowing the village to raise our kids. I don't want nobody. Don't touch my kid. Back in the day, if you did something wrong, the neighbor up the street was calling your mama to tell your mom, I seen cotton down the street.
You
what?
Quit.
Hey, nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dang,
you got
how can you
from
couldn't do nothing because you're yeah. And now it's not like that anymore because you got kids saying, well, I'm going to call the police. Call them. You better hope they
don't them have no fear.
Call them.
They don't
call
have
them
no
if you
fear.
Want to. Look, I promise you, when my kids was younger, and I don't know if any of them listening to this, but when they was younger, I said, you can call the police. They never threatened it, but I just let them know. I said, you can call the police if you want to, but I'm going to get out. If they
yeah.
take me to jail,
I'm
going to get
say,
out.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do the same thing again.
Right. You know, I feel like it's partially the parents' fault, but it's partially society's fault for saying that, for giving the kids the inkling that it's not okay for us to parent or punish them in any type of way. And then some of these parents,
mm-hmm.
just like I said, they stop parenting. Like, yeah, okay. Do you want me to punish them now, or do you want to deal with them later? Which one do you want to do?
They want to be able
yeah.
to punish me. Like I tell my
right.
kids, I'm going to punish them so nobody else has to. I don't care what they
mm-hmm.
say the law is. You came out of me, and I'm going to make sure you standing up straight, right,
And if you're not, I'm going to break you down. They're not going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Now come get me to jail, and then we can deal with that.
Either way. I told them the other day when we went to my brother's wedding. I said, you know, back in the day, my stepdad, but I call him my dad. He's one of those people. If you said you was calling him to come over, you got your act straight. Don't call him. And he didn't really whoop you per se, but just the sound of his voice and the authority that he put out there was like, nah, didn't your mama tell you to get in there and clean up? It's like, oh shoot. Don't call him. We don't have a lot of that going on these days.
Yeah, it was a level of respect. You know, it was a level of respect for your elders that's no longer that doesn't exist any longer. I've seen it's just horrific, some of the stories that I've seen of, you know, this generation and just, you know, a generation in general that just, it's just a lack of respect. And, you know, like I said, you know, raising three daughters, I've seen it all, you know, and I feel like, you know, as long as there has to be a lot of communication open and real conversations that have to be had. And those real conversations, everybody wants to tiptoe around that. And you just can't anymore. You have to have those real cutthroat, hard conversations with your children that are uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable. If you're comfortable with your children, then you're too comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We can't be afraid to continue to parent our kids at the end of the day. I want to say that we have about 18 minutes left in the show. If anyone has any questions or comments, please press the number 1. Feel free to say your name and ask whatever question or, you know, state whatever comment that you'd like. But we are going to continue the show. If I see your hand up, then I will open your mic and I'll let you say what you want to say. I know I didn't ask this before, so if you don't have an answer, that's fine. My thought process is, what do you think we can do to change how things are done as far as our children having access and being able to purchase, because some of these kids are going into the store and purchasing guns.
Or buying them off the internet.
Yeah. So what do you think
and
we could do?
And putting them together.
Yeah. Yeah. But what do you think we can do as a unit or as a city, state, government to start getting this under control?
I don't know. I mean, my first instinct and thought process is that a 16-year-old isn't just going to walk up and say, hey, you know, I bought this gun and I'm having real regrets about it. You know, it doesn't happen that way. So I don't know. I still feel like the basis is in your community. It starts in your own backyard in offering some type of incentive to, you know, gun buyback or turn in your gun and you get a gift card or I don't know. I mean, you know, something to where, you know, these kids are second guessing or making it another option other than packing the gun. You know, what other why are they carrying the gun in the first place? What's the reason why they feel like they even need that type of protection? You know, I think that,
right.
that it starts somewhere, but we have to figure out how to start right in your own backyard so it can start, you know, so it can manifest into something bigger, because I feel like just saying, hey, what can we do right now? We have to start somewhere where it can manifest into something bigger, definitely.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. But, you know, so everything starts somewhere. Like I said, moms of drunk drivers, or I forgot what it was called, That started somewhere. I'm one of those people where I like to be proactive. I don't want to wait until another tragedy happens and then we say, oh, yeah, this is what we can do. I think the government has an idea of what could be done, but like Lady Justice said earlier, they want that money, so they really don't care. We're expendable at this point. So I don't know. Ms. Patricia, any thoughts of what you think we could do to get the ball rolling and maybe put some fire under our government to get this under control?
Well, definitely. I mean, it goes to the government because, in my opinion and belief, they are, you know, in control of all of that, and they know what's going on. They know, you know, these gun owners. I mean, it's going to have to be a force of nature. You're going to have to find somebody to mobilize and attack. Like, you're going to start writing letters and maybe, you know, getting people that have experienced the gun violence, you know, to write letters or, you know, record some type of video or something, but get the message out there, like almost the old school grassroots way, maybe. I don't know. It's going to take a force of nature.
Right. I agree, Lady J. Or Patricia. Yeah, definitely.
It's going to take something, and it might be combined with everything that was suggested. But at some point, I agree with what Lady J said earlier about you know, where we at now, you know, with everything. What can we do to go forward? So it's just really about action and just trying to figure out who do we go after that knows what's going on, that the people that manufacture them, the fact that they can go on the internet and buy them, put them together as pieces like it's a Lego toy.
Right.
And then take it out and murder, you know, multiple people at one time. So, I mean, it has to be drastic measures. If they're doing things like this continuously, then our measures have to be just as drastic. That we have to go further than they're going at some point in some type of way because they're just going to keep slaughtering people.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it definitely gets deep. You know, once you go after the government and their money, it turns into something different.
Yep, you know it. This is real. I know it. So, you know, just to be on these type of forums to discuss this, I mean, maybe even the ideas of, you know, go out into the atmosphere and it'll inspire somebody to take it on because, like you said, how many, you know, so we get to a neighborhood school where it directly affects our community, and then it's gonna be all game on after that.
Right. Exactly. So, Lady Justice.
So yeah, I agree, Ms. Patricia. We gotta start holding people accountable. We gotta find the people that are willing to make change, because some change has to be made, and it's going to have to come from a lot of different areas. And we're all going to have to be a village together. So it's going to take some doctors, nurses, some social workers, some neighborhood activists, some community activists, some principals, some teachers, some parents. We are all going to have to come together and figure it out.
Definitely.
It's not rocket science.
I get that
selling guns is a moneymaker. So it's sending people to prison. Right? So we know that prison is going to be because that's a money-making machine. Is guns the same thing?
For cheap labor.
Are guns looked at the same way? Are we more concerned about selling guns than we are having people's lives in existence?
Right.
We're going to stand up and make a change. Because together, we change. So we have to stand up and do it.
I'm just real good.
We have a caller that has a question or a comment. I'm going to open up her mic. And I'm going to open up her mic, and she can, oh, wow, and she can say your name, caller, and then say your question or comment. 0285, your mic is open. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, my name is Nevaeh Moore. I'm Shawnetta Kendler's daughter. I just wanted to touch on the youth, basically, because I'm 19. I'll be 20 in August. But I have a lot of comments. I heard you ladies saying that why do my generation feel like they have to carry guns? One, I feel like they feel like they, especially our black men, I feel like they need to carry their guns because the police is not doing their job in protecting us. So that made, especially like I said, the black men generation make them want to go get protection, because if the police is not protecting us, who can really protect us, if that makes sense? You have police, there's police brutality every single day. So I feel like that's a lot of reasons on why our black men is carrying our guns. And then another thing is, when I know you ladies are looking for ways to reach the younger generation, and like I was telling my mom, we want people that we can like feel like we can trust, that we can talk to about anything when we're going through things. Like personally, we need somebody that we can confide in, that we know we can trust. So I feel like it really takes building that one-on-one relationship. Sometimes, like, when I don't want to vent to my mom just because she's going to give me a mom answer and that's not what I'm looking for, I'll be needing somebody to go to that's still going to give me the right answer but still listen to me as a not-so, like, mother relationship, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I'm glad you chimed in. Are you up today?
Is the caller still on?
Is she? Yes.
I had a question for her. My question to her would be, what kind of protection is needed for our males? Because even in this instance, it wasn't the police that did it. So we're carrying guns for other reasons, right? And we all know that.
Right.
We got some people out there in the street. There's other things going on. Also need to get to the root of that, because that's a different case scenario. But it also caused an issue. So we need to find out what those issues are and try to solve some of those, and then they won't be carrying them. Because we can tell you how to handle anger, right? But once you kill somebody, we can't tell you how to handle that, because you're going to be in trouble.
All right.
Can't take it back.
So that's why I think it's true.
Right. That's why I said it's going to take the village. Just like she said, when she doesn't want to talk to her mom, she seeks somebody else. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to take us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely, I agree with you, Jay. Definitely take the village. And I definitely believe that there are other reasons other than a fear of a police officer, or, you know, I'm not neglecting the fact of reason why.
Me
either. Men are carrying guns, but there's more reasons to it than that. You know, we have, you know, I know just alone in the few stories that I heard, you know, of the 16, 17-year-old boys getting shot because of, you know, little, you know, penny and dime bags, drug deals. And this is why they're carrying guns. This is why they're getting shot. So it's a round table conversation for the community, and if the community would just band together and everyone do their part and not be afraid to have those hard, sticky conversations, we're not going to always agree with one another. That's the thing. Everybody is like, as long as we have to be in agreement. No, That's what makes this melting pot. It is okay for everyone to disagree, but as long as we're walking around saying, hey, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to agree to disagree with the level of respect. You know, we're not going to always agree on the same topics and the same things and the same, you know, views and the same values. But I respect your way of thinking. I respect your opinion, and I value that, you know. But take into consideration that just as I respect yours, I'm not agreeing with it, and you respect that I don't agree with that.
Yeah. I know my friend Nick was listening, and he's a military vet as well, and he was saying some very, and I can't say verbatim what he said, but his points were very well, you know, when you put that out there, as far as, because I told him, I said, people had say, you know, my daughter wanted to get a gun, and I told her, I don't think you should do that, you know, but you start, like Nevaeh was saying, there's a certain type of element. If you surround yourself with that type of element, then you start to feel unsafe, not because of you, but because of them. And so now you feel like, oh, I probably should get a gun. Well, if you change the people that you're around, your surroundings, then you won't have to feel like that. I never felt like I needed a gun until I surrounded myself with the wrong type of people. It's the only time I ever felt like I needed a gun. But I raised 4 of my kids plus 1 without one. So I'm telling my daughter, who has 2 little girls, I'm against it. But, you're an adult. I'm telling you, I'm not going to like it. And we're going to probably have a problem if you buy a gun and bring it into this house around your daughters, you know. But if you change the people that you're hanging out with, you probably won't feel like you need to have a gun. You know, some things you can't. You know, you can't help. But I always say, don't invite in that type of energy. Don't invite in those type of people around you. And, you know, I like Patricia said earlier, I just believe that God is a protector and God is a healer and all that. But we still need to do some things. We need to still be proactive. We still need to protect our kids. There's something we can do. Whatever that is,
yeah.
I'm open to suggestions from anybody.
Yeah, I'm not against guns. I'm just against them and being in the wrong hands. You know, Lucy want a gun.
Yeah.
But I'm against them being in the wrong hands. You know, and that's my view on it.
Yeah. I agree. 3497 has their hand up. I'm going to open your mic if you have a question or comment. Go ahead and speak. 3497, your mic is open.
Hey, Ms. Campbell, this is Nicholas. How you doing?
Oh, hey, I was just talking about you.
Yeah, I heard. You guys are having an interesting discussion, and I just want to second what the young lady was saying about being aware of your surroundings, which I think is key. And I like the fact that we're talking about community involvement, because I think that is where it starts, because as a community, we are we need to start being on our own more and stop reaching out to the rest of society or America to help us with our problems. Now, in the shooting that just recently happened in Uvalde, I think there was a massive failure in the chain of command of the police, and a even bigger failure with the parents of the person who committed those crimes. They're, you know, I don't think that these people just wake up one day, pick up a gun and run in and start shooting people. This is something that is always planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the warning signs are constantly ignored because of, you know, the way the family is set up or you know, maybe the young man is just feeling alone. But we, as a community, we have to start wrapping our hands around our children and letting them know that gun violence is findable. It's not like in the movies where somebody gets shot, gets up, runs, and, you know, has a dramatic death. You know, it's, you know, if you hit a person right, it's instant. And, you know,
yes.
you deal with it. And then as far as black men carrying guns, it's not so much protection as it is a what I find is, you know, it's a show of how much of a man they feel they are because they're carrying a gun, and that can, you know, in their mind, I would assume, would make them the big man in a you know, small pond.
Right.
Yes.
Guns are easy to get. Guns are easy to get. It's not the guns. It's the people that have them. If we put in enough strict laws, the guns will just be more prevalent in society. So I just really think that the key is wrapping our hands around the community and just focusing on our community and letting the other communities sort themselves out. Because if you look at the Asian community, I mean, the Asian community takes care of itself. They don't care who the president is. You don't hear about a lot of violence in their community, even though it happens, but you don't hear a whole lot about it because they police it from inside. So, you know, those are my thoughts, but you guys are doing a wonderful service, and I enjoy the program.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have another caller who has their hand up. Just so you know, we're actually over our time, but we still have another caller. I do not want to close out until we get all of our callers and they get a chance to speak, and then we can close out our show because we are over our time. I was like, this is getting good. I don't want to close out yet. So, caller, where did I see the caller at? Oh my goodness, I just here we go. 5376. State your name and your comment or question.
Hi, so my name is Dion Moore. Can you hear me? Hello.
Hi. Yes, we can hear you. Hi.
Yeah. So my sister's Shanetta Lucy. And I just wanted to touch on just a little bit of what I heard, and I'm really happy to hear that you guys are kind of bringing this to the forefront. And I just kind of wanted to honestly just piggyback on the gentleman that was before me on the stressing of the community, the support that we need in the community. Legislative laws, the people that sit on the Senate and make those decisions, is just a small part of the problem. It's like a puzzle, you know, and there's all these different pieces that need to be in place in order for the picture to be seen or for it to work. And I think that's just a part of it. The other part is a big, huge part is parenting. I think I heard one of the ladies say a little bit ago about how parenting is completely different now than it was probably like 25 years ago. And that translates in our schools. My daughter goes to a local middle school, and they had a situation where it was a gun threat. Somebody threatened to bring a gun to school, and so I kept my child home, but the communication from the school was not there. They put metal detectors up one day, and then they were gone. And when I spoke to the principal, he informed me that the head people or the people that make the decisions don't like the look of metal detectors in the schools. And I was just so dumbfounded at that point because I'm like, how does that look worse than kids being brought out in body bags? You know what I mean? And so I'm a parent that rallies for my child and, you know, am a spokesperson for her and gives her a voice because, you know, they're kids, and that's my job as a parent, you know. I'm her biggest advocate, and so I would be involved in some of those parent meetings and focus groups and PTA. And I never got a real definitive answer on why that was a bad look, you know. And for the life of me, just could not wrap my head around that. And then also, like, if there were so many fights, like, when school started back up, there were so, like, to the point where they have, like, the newsletters home about how many fights there were. And these fights were not resulting with parents coming up to the school. Like, when I was younger, parents would have to come to the school, you meet with the parents, you meet with the other kid, and there was some type of conflict resolution. And I just feel like in our community, it's not happening. And, you know, it's for me, I just feel like it's a trickle effect. And the people that are suffering are our kids, because they are our next generation. The laws, honestly, are not set up to protect us as African-Americans, honestly. And honestly, it's set that way for a reason. They want to have young black men with guns. As much as you might hear opposite in the news, if they're killing each other, then that's less that they have to worry about. So, I mean, a lot of these laws were put in place from 50, 60 years ago, and they're not for us. So I think it really does need to be in our community. So anyways, I just wanted to touch on those couple of things and kind of give my own insight on it. And, you know, I've always tried to, you know, have some type of input in my baby's community and in my community, because that's who it's affecting, you know. And I just wish that there were a lot more forums or places where we could not only just talk about it, but have a resolution that gets enforced and we reap the benefits. Our kids actually get to reap the benefits, like even in our own schools.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. That would be a start. That would be a huge start, because then you can and we're going to have to go pretty soon, but then we can bring in the principals from different schools and some of the teachers from other schools to also be a part, because, you know, back in my day, you could paddle, like the teacher had a paddle. So when you got out of line, because again, it takes the village, the neighbor up the street was going to call your parents. The school had permission to paddle you if you got out of line. And right. We don't do that anymore. So now our kids are even more out of control. And, you know, I think we've lost that. A lot of parents are giving power to the kids. We're taking away the power from adults because we don't want anybody touching our kids. And, you know, of course you had to sign a form. But I know this has been a really great call. So I want to thank you all. A great show, you guys. So I want to thank you all for coming on. We are definitely over our time. We're like 7 minutes over. And so I want all the ladies to quickly say how you can reach them if you want to follow them on social media. Lucy, go.
Yes. So again, my name is Lucy. Thank you so much for having me this evening. And my Instagram is Lucy_Lux_KC. And you can reach me through my Instagram. And thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Patricia B.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. This is Patricia B. You guys can follow Base for Change LLP on Facebook, on Instagram, Google my business. If you get on Facebook, you'll see me. So I'm there. I'm not hard to find. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Lady J.
I'm as simple as it gets. You can follow me on Facebook at Yolanda Robinson Van.
Woohoo! And last but not least, Cotton Campbell. You can find me on all social media platforms. You just type in Cotton Campbell. That's KOTTYNCAMPBELL. Cotton Campbell. You can find me on all social media platforms. This is your girl, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of PMGN signing out. Y'all have an amazing day. You know my motto, peace, love, and loyalty. God before man, spirit before flesh, and love before hate. Y'all have an amazing day, everybody. See you next time on Let's Talk About It.
Have a good night.
Good night.
realize ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance. Don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to